Hello, my name is Lawrence Wilson, and welcome to a video study through the book of Hebrews. Now, this book was written to a group of Hebrew Christians who were enduring persecution, and because of this, they were beginning to question whether it might not be better to revert to their former way of life. That would be Judaism, to live according to the principles of Judaism as taught in the Old Testament. And of course, the author of Hebrews is encouraging them that that is not the case because Jesus is better than anything that came before. And so far through the first several chapters in Hebrews, we've seen how Jesus is better than angels, better than Moses. And we've begun to study how Christ is better than the old priesthood. He is a better priest than any of the priests that came before. In fact, we've been seeing how he is a priest after the order of Melchizedek, not after the Levitical priesthood. And how we started to see here in Hebrews chapter 7 that the Melchizedek priesthood is a greater priesthood than the Levitical priesthood. We continue on with that comparison in verse 11 of Hebrews 7. Now, if perfection had been attainable through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need would there have been for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek, rather than one named after the order of Aaron? So he brings up this very good point. If the Levitical priesthood was good enough, why in Scripture do we see these references to another coming after the order of Melchizedek? In Psalm 110, it was stated that the Messiah would be a priest after the order of Melchizedek. For, verse 12, for when there is a change in the priesthood, there is necessarily a change in the law as well. For the one of whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe from which no one has ever served at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah. And in connection with that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. So he says, now that we have a different priesthood, we're changing up the rules a little bit, right? From the Old Testament law of Moses, Moses established that the tribe of Levi was the tribe of the priests, that the descendants of Aaron were the family of the high priests. But now he says, you know, Jesus, there's nothing ever said in the Bible about a priest coming from the tribe of Judah. But Jesus is from the tribe of Judah. So how can he serve as priest? Because he is not a priest like the priests that were talked about in the law of Moses. He is a priest of a better type. Verse 15, he said, this becomes even more evident when another priest arises in the likeness of Melchizedek. He's similar to Melchizedek. In our last video, we looked at all the ways that Melchizedek and Christ are similar. Verse 16, who has become a priest, not on the basis of a legal requirement concerning bodily descent, but by power of an indestructible life. So Christ is not established as a priest because of his ancestry, because of his physical descent, like the Levitical priests were. They were just born into it. I was born a Levite, so therefore I am qualified to be a priest. I was born into the priestly family. But instead we see here that Christ was not made a priest by the power of a legal requirement or an ancestry, but a priest because he has you could think of this as an eternal existence, because death is not a factor for him, because his life continues on forever. That's why in verse 17, for it is witnessed of him, and this is a direct quote from Psalm 110, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. A priest forever, right? An eternal priest, not like the temporary priesthood of the Levites, of the family of Aaron, who of course would eventually go on to die, and then their priesthood therefore has to pass on to their descendants. But Jesus, he lives forever. So he is a priest like Melchizedek, who we already saw earlier in this chapter. It said, no beginning of days, no end of life. It's eternal, this concept. Verse 18, for on the one hand, a former commandment is set aside because of its weakness and uselessness. Speaking of the old way of the priesthood, is being set aside because it was weak and it was not actually effective. For the law, verse 19, made nothing perfect. It had no power. We'll talk about this more as we go through Hebrews. It had no power to actually save anybody. But on the other hand, a better hope is introduced through which we draw near to God. So even though the law was incomplete, it was not capable of providing true salvation for people, it was not able to perfect people, we have a better hope that allows us to draw near to God. Our hope is not in this old priesthood to save us. Our hope is in our great high priest, Jesus Christ, who is a priest like Melchizedek, a priest after the order of Melchizedek, a priest that is on another level, better than the priesthood of the Mosaic Law, than the priesthood of the Levites, right? Verse 20, and it was not without an oath, for those who formerly became priests were made such without an oath, but this one, Jesus, was made a priest with an oath by the one who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind, you are a priest forever. Again, quoting Psalm 110. This makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. So Jesus, as a better priest, can bring in a better covenant than the old covenant that God had with the people of Israel. In that old covenant, right, there was a requirement for them to keep the law in order to truly be considered God's people. Those who did not keep God's law were considered outcasts. They were not to be treated as members of the covenant. They were not to be treated as the true people of God. But Jesus has guaranteed a better covenant for us, whereby his sacrifice and our faith in him, and the faith in his sacrifice, we become the people of God. Obedience is not a requirement for us to be the people of God, which is better for us because we can't obey because of our sin, right? Our sin nature has corrupted us so much that we can't follow all of God's commands. So how are we to be the people of God? Well, Christ says, I pay the penalty for your sin so that now you can approach. That's how Christ serves as our high priest, to make a sacrifice for us so that we can approach. Just like in the Old Testament law, in the covenant, the priests made sacrifices on behalf of the people so they could have a true relationship with God. But Christ as our priest is a better priest than any of those. As we see here, verse 23, the former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office, right? So there were lots of priests because they died and passed on their priesthood to their and to their descendants, to the ones who came after them. They were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he, Jesus Christ, holds his priesthood permanently, because he continues forever. So let's not just think of Christ's priesthood as involving the sacrifice that he made for us on the cross. That happens once. But that was not the end of his priesthood. It tells us that Christ continues as a priest permanently because he lives forever. He continues to function as our priest. Verse 25, consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost, or to save completely, those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. When we think about this concept of being saved completely, that reminds us that there are different aspects to salvation, right? If we think of salvation in the past tense, we have been saved from the penalty of sin, right? That there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But if we think of our salvation, there is a present tense component to this, that we are continuing to be saved from the power of sin over our lives, that we're continuing to be freed from our old way of living day by day as we grow in our relationship with Christ. So Christ continues to intercede for us, and he is able to save us to completion because in the future we will be finally saved from the very presence of sin when we are glorified and we live in heaven with God. So our salvation has not yet come to completion, but Jesus as a priest does have the power to save us all the way to completion, to rescue us completely, because he is always there making intercession for us before God our Father. Always there to stand as our advocate on our behalf with God the Father. Verse 26, for it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. Right? This is our Christ. He's perfectly holy. He stands apart in a whole other category. The only one who lived and was tempted in every way like we are, but had no sin. He has no need, verse 27, because of his status, pure, holy, and sinless. He has no need, like those other high priests, the priests, the Levitical priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. He doesn't have to offer sacrifices for his own sins. He has no sins. He doesn't have to offer sacrifices on a continual basis because his once for all sacrifice was good enough for all of eternity. Verse 28, for the law appoints men in their weakness as high priests, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. Jesus Christ is a priest on a much different level than any of the priests that came before him. And lest the readers of this book, who were considering whether it might not be better to avoid the persecution, to just continue on in their old Judaistic way of life, the author of Hebrews encourages them by saying, look, the old priesthood was ineffective. The old priesthood was not great. There were so many limitations and so many things about it where it was not going to actually accomplish what we need to be accomplished for us. So Jesus stands not after the order of Levi, born from the tribe of Judah, living forever, and so he is a priest like Melchizedek of a higher order. He is a much better priest who guarantees us our salvation because he is eternal, because he has no sin, because he's holy, he's righteous, because his sacrifice once for all was enough to guarantee our salvation, and his presence with God the Father interceding on our behalf is enough to guarantee that we will be complete in our salvation, that we will eventually come to full glory in the presence of God one day in heaven. What a priest we have. What a Savior we serve. I thank you for taking the time to listen. I hope and pray that something said today would minister to your heart, and I hope and pray that you take it and share it with everyone that you encounter. Thank you, and God bless.